South Jersey, circa 1983, a distinctive sub-region, as if a section of the South or Midwest was grafted onto the East Coast. France is a defrocked college student who has made a mess of both his scholastic career and his life, finds himself back home at the Jersey Shore, and gainfully employed at a sprawling subterranean gas station. Petroleum Transfer Engineer is not just Francis's story, but it's also the chronicle of a time and place that is slowly disappearing. The farmland, little eateries, and raucous bars giving way to development, the resorts of Atlantic City morphing into its soulless casino incarnation. Francis must navigate a terrain that is simultaneously familiar and off-kilter, and somehow he must struggle to piece his life back together. This story told in Richard Quinn's new book, Petroleum Transfer Engineer. Richard lives in New York's Hudson Valley. He's the author of Something to Say, Thoughts on Art and Politics in America, and Abstract Expressionism for Beginners. We welcome him back to our program this morning. Richard, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I think you summed it up completely. I have
very
really
nice
nothing
to have
say.
You here. Well, you know, I know you know this, but I grew up in Philly around this time, and so I was very interested in reading about it because while not a Jersey guy, was certainly a Philly guy, and we were, you know, very aware of what was going on. And when you look at it, it's really all the same area, isn't it?
It is. It's very much the same sort of cultural sphere. And there are these sort of disguised Philly media figures from the 70s and 80s.
Like,
and
who did you disguise? Like, who?
Well, Larry Venero, who he meets, is based on a real person. I don't know if I should reveal this to everybody.
Sure. Okay. Oh, it's, did you not want to?
No, it's quite all right.
Is it Larry King?
No, Larry Ferrari.
Oh, Larry Ferrari.
Yes,
oh, my
Oregon,
God.
Yeah. Yeah,
Larry
absolutely.
Ferrari.
We're revealing all this horrible confidential information. And then there's a kids' TV host named Admiral Neptune, who is based on Captain Noah.
Yeah.
And then there's a overbearing, horrible vintage DJ named Skeeter Boss, who is sort of based on the Geeter. I hope I'm not insulting any Geeter fans. No one outside this area is going to know what I'm talking about. Jerry Blavitt, who had his own club, which I've sort of borrowed also in the book. Also,
Jerry's been on the show, actually.
Oh, he has? Yeah. Oops, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. He's long forgotten. And, I mean, he'd forgotten that he's on the show, not that he's long forgotten. But
I haven't forgotten.
And, there are some great people there. Wee Willie Weber Herb Albert. What was it? No, Al Albert Showcase.
That's right. I wanted to cram I couldn't do all of it. I couldn't do Wee Willie Weber. It's sort of the Captain Neptune, or the Admiral Neptune figure, sort of, it's morphed in a way.
Captain Noah was sort of a poor man's Captain Kangaroo.
Exactly. Yeah. And there is a part, the book is not autobiographical, I want to stress that. But, you know, obviously, I grew up in South Jersey. You know, it's not completely far afield, but I saw the real Captain Noah in a restaurant, and I sort of borrowed that for the character runs into Admiral Neptune in a restaurant also, too, and that's sort of very similar in a way.
Did that haunt you as a child?
It haunted me very much because I was sort of an adult, and from what I remember, I can't remember if I've embellished this, but Captain Noah was wearing his Captain Noah cap. Like, he never seemed to be out of character, and I put that in the book.
Yes.
It was sort of odd. Like, he never, there was no gradation between his on-screen and off-screen persona. Like, even in his off-duty hours, he was always Captain Noah. So I borrowed that.
Once Captain Noah.
Right.
Always Captain
Captain
Noah.
Why turn it off?
And his wife was on that show.
That's right.
A program. Right. But the idea of telling this story, let's talk about the title, Petroleum Transfer Engineer. Obviously, that plays a role in this. Give us a sense of how that sets it up.
It seemed like, the character of Francis is in exile sort of everywhere he turns. He's sort of flamed out of his college career, finds himself very improbably working at this very odd gas station, sort of the idea that nothing quite fits. He's returned home to find his studious sisters become sort of this go-getting ad person, this radio station. So he's sort of uncomfortable everywhere he turns. Petroleum transfer engineer, obviously, is sort of slang for a gas station attendant. It felt like something Francis himself would say, something sort of academic, something sort of clever, and sort of slightly pathetic on some level. Like, it seems like it's something he would find funny, I think, calling himself a petroleum transfer engineer.
What is it? What was the impetus to write the novel? Was it ultimately to tell that story of a changing landscape of one from what South Jersey was to what it became when the resorts of Atlantic City moved in?
Very much, very much. I mean, it wasn't the only the only impetus. I sort of wanted to tell, obviously, a story. But I think there's something so distinctive about South Jersey, this sort of sub-region. And on some level, sub-regions have disappeared throughout the whole country. It's not just South Jersey. You know, like everybody had their idiosyncratic, strange local TV shows like I've discussed.
Yes.
And, you know, Philly had Dr. Shock, which was, right. You know, this guy coming out of a coffin. Like every city had the equivalent of Dr. Shock, and that's all disappeared. So it's not so much South Jersey, but I wanted to focus on that little plot of land, that it was a very distinctive sub-region.
And just, I think we've made this point, but just so people know, most of the, we called it the Delaware Valley, but if I lived in Philly, you lived in South Jersey, but it was in the Philadelphia metro.
Yeah, it was only, I mean, it was barely the East Coast, which I think people don't realize. I think New Jersey is often synonymous with urban sprawl, or there's the sort of the Springsteen South Jersey. This wasn't any of that. And it was very much Philly, culturally Philadelphia, and very much, like I mentioned, it was lots of farmland, and it felt like an element of the South or the Midwest had sort of made it onto the East Coast for some reason.
So the resorts move in, and it becomes a big deal.
Right.
And, I mean, you don't address all of this directly, but, you know, you look at what it is now, and it's still really depressing. I mean, it basically came in and ruined an area.
Yeah, it's depressing in a different way. I mean, I sort of wanted to hint at this. Like, I didn't want it to be a sociological study of changing South Jersey. You know, it's a novel, but there was a sort of cheerful, sort of downtrodden aspect to the old Atlantic City, and it just felt like it obliterated, the casinos obliterated everything. There's no causal connection at all to the old Atlantic City and the new Atlantic City, and the character Francis reacts to this too. He's walking around and he can't locate himself. He's trying to find this grand old hotel in Atlantic City, and it's been demolished. So there's sort of nothing quite adds up.
You know, you have the ocean, you have the beach, you have the boardwalk, you have the casinos, and then two blocks over, you just have what was left.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is a stark contrast.
It's a very stark contrast, absolutely.
Yeah. No. So Francis, let's talk about him, because, as I mentioned, and you just touched on it, of ultimately struggling to piece his life back together. So who is this guy? What has happened so that he needs to do that?
You know, I sort of thought that, in a way, people don't quite grapple with what ails them, in a way. That,
oh,
I think
God,
in
no.
some ways, yeah. Not talking about anybody here,
Amen.
Of course. You know, I think, I mean, maybe some people do, but I always thought there's sort of an element of cliche when people, your marriage ended because of this, you dropped out of school because of that. I usually find, at least this character, it's sort of a nebulous mishmash of a lot of things, and Francis either can't grapple with it or won't grapple with it. And I think I made it nebulous in a way. There's obviously some kind of big romantic trauma he's had in college.
Right.
There are definitely intimations of some kind of mental unsettledness, where he has panic attacks, and, you know, he's flamed out, but he can't quite grasp why that is. And I think that's maybe more accurate in a way. I think it's maybe, it would make it for more immediate drama if, you know, he left because of excessive drinking. But I just find that life rarely is that neat and delineated. You know, he can't quite put his finger on what's happened.
But so, not to, and hopefully I'm not reading too much into this, but in my reading of the novel, it just seemed to me, and we spent the first part of this talking about the place,
right,
which of course is because we have that common interest, but also it is important in the novel, but that sort of goes hand in hand. It just seems very fitting because it almost mirrors what he is going through
exactly,
in his life.
Exactly. I wanted to do that. It's sort of symbiotic in a way, the way he feels out of place. It's internal and it's also external too. You know, he's sort of a stranger in a strange land. That's his own psychological hang-ups, but it's also the region is changing also too.
You know? When did you leave the area?
I left in the 80s, pretty much. And then my family, until like 10 years ago, my mother still lived there.
Yeah.
And I would go and be shocked at how much had changed. And I think there's something I really wanted to get at that. I mean, the past disappears metaphorically and it disappears literally, and there's both. I mean, the past obviously goes away. But in this case, it goes away metaphorically and literally. Like, there's no, the buildings are gone that in the South Jersey I remember. The infrastructure
the roads
is
are
different.
Gone.
The roads are gone.
Yeah,
everything is
everything's
gone.
Everything's gone.
And I wanted to show that it's internal and external for him also, too.
And do you think, I don't want to give anything away, but do you think there is a, how did you want to end it? Did you feel that it had a satisfying ending, a happy ending?
I wanted to end it in sort of a realistic way, and I think the realistic way is ambiguity. And I think in some ways you do lose control over your book when you write the last word. So I don't honestly know what happens to Francis. There definitely are hints that it's going to be okay, but it also could be construed that it won't be okay. Like, I didn't want that resolution in big capital letters.
Right.
It's half and half in a way, which I think life is like that.
Life is like that, absolutely. Yeah. Well, did you enjoy writing the character?
I had a really tough time writing the character.
Really?
Part of it was, definitely it drew from some of my personal experiences. Obviously, growing up in South Jersey, being Francis's age, it wasn't like it was totally far afield, like I had to pull this out of my imagination. But I took pains to make him jerkier, more troubled. I mean, it was sort of, he's sort of like my flatline alter ego on some level. You know, I did have a summer job working in a gas station, but I took a lot of pains to make him very, very fictional. And it's hard. In some ways, I found it difficult because you're imbuing this character with a lot of ugliness on some level. You know?
Does it allow you to explore, though, what you went through as a kid, about what brought you to the place where you were and what brought Francis to the place he was, and draw the parallels even as you're writing it?
I think there were some parallels, not a lot of parallels, but I definitely wanted to explore those themes, that it's rare that you get these sort of delineated, here's a problem, here's how we're going to solve it. I mean, it definitely buttressed my feeling that life is really, really muddy. And what troubles you is muddy, and the resolution can be muddy. It's uncomfortably ambiguous. I sort of wanted to show that also.
Reviewers are saying uncomfortably ambiguous.
Hey, what a great selling point, right?
That's great. Yeah. No, we like that. That's all good. You're going to be at the Golden Notebook on Saturday for reading and a signing. It's at 4 o'clock. People can meet you. They can get their book signed. You'll be reading, I assume.
I'll be reading. Also going to be at Buffalo Street Books in Ithaca on April 28th for the Ithaca contingent of my fan base.
Excellent.
Well,
it all takes place, at least the Golden Notebook event is at Saturday at 4 o'clock. And then when are you in Ithaca?
Ithaca on April 28th.
April 28th.
I'm not sure what time.
But. Well, Richard Quinn's new book is Petroleum Transfer Engineer. The Golden Notebook event is this Saturday, and you can find out more by going to goldennotebook.com. Again, the new book is Petroleum Transfer Engineer. Richard Quinn, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much. A delight to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.